Welcome back to Ram Yomi. We're now going to jump right into Yisodei HaTorah Perek Beis. Hakela Nichva Ganoro Hazem Mitzvah La'avol Yirao Sosh Ne'emar Ve'achta Shem Elokecha Ve'ne'emar Asa Shem Elokecha Tira. We have a responsibility to love and fear the Ribono Shel Olam. Those are two mitzvos, as the psukim in Devarim Vav point out. The sixth perek of Devarim, we learn that we are supposed to love the Ribono Shel Olam and fear the Ribono Shel Olam. This God, Akel HaNichvav, Anor HaZeh, is referring to, going back already to the first parak. In the first parak, we describe three of the mitzvos, of the 10 mitzvos that were outlined at the beginning of Yisodei HaTorah. Those three mitzvos are to believe in the Ribono Shel Olam, or to know Him, to not believe in other gods, and to unify Him. Now, we're talking about that same God, and that God, we have a responsibility to love and fear Him. The Sefer HaChinuch points out that there are six different mitzvos that are constant mitzvos at all times. The three that we discussed yesterday, and the two that we are describing today of Ahava and Yiras Hashem. Those are five of the six mitzvahs that one can fulfill at all times, no matter what. The six of those mitzvahs that can be fulfilled at all times, Sefer HaChinuch says, Lo sasur achrei levavchem achrei neichem, we shouldn't go after the ways of our hearts and our eyes to follow in the ways of our Yetzirah, to do Avonos, for example. We should restrict ourselves and hold ourselves back from those desires, and that would be number six in the mitzvahs that we can fulfill at all times. So what is this mitzvah of fearing and loving and fearing the Ribono Shel Olam? Before we get there, it's worthwhile to point out that the B'nai Yisachar points out, again, the Rishu Melech Shaviro of Dinov, in his Devarim Nechmadim, two different points about this halacha that I think worthwhile to point out. Number one, it doesn't say mitzvahs aseh to fulfill these. Unlike the two mitzvahs that were mitzvahs aseh in Perek Aleph, the mitzvah of emuna of the Yed of Hashem, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it's mitzvahs aseh, as well as when it comes to Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad, to unify the Ribono Shel Olam, that's also a mitzvahs aseh. It's a positive commandment. Here it just says mitzvah la'avo, you're also. It's just a mitzvah to do these things. Why not mitzvahs aseh? Why does it not specify that it's a mitzvah aseh? The answer is because look at the psukim. Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher tzicha me'eretz Mitzrayim sounds like a statement. I am Hashem your God who took you out of Mitzrayim. It doesn't say anything about a commandment. Also, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad. Right? Listen to Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. Oh, these are both statements. The Rambam needs to emphasize those are mitzvahs asay because the pasuk doesn't spell it out itself. Whereas in Devarim Vav, when it says Va'aftas Hashem Elokecha or Hashem Elokecha Tira, there is a clear requirement that comes along with that. It's a mitzvahs asay. The other point that the B'nai Yisachar points out is that this, the Ahava comes first, even though it's clear in the psukim that in pasuk Hey, in Perek Vav is Vav Hashem Elokecha, and then Yud Gimel number 13, which is afterwards as Hashem Elokecha Tira, is in that order in the Psukim. The Rambam is focusing, says the Me'ez Eschar, on Ahava first, because Ahava is a higher level of service of the Ribono Shel Olam. The last thing I want to just point out here is that the Rambam does count these also as part of his 613 mitzvahs. These are mitzvahs 3 and 4, to love and to fear the Ribono Shel Olam. And Rsazigon, for example, does not count loving and fearing the Ribono Shel Olam. Some point out the reason for that is, and all those who don't count, Ahava and loving and fearing, because these are emotions that one is can't be required to achieve. That being said, the Rambam is going to say, how does one now in Halacha Beis, well, you want to fulfill that mitzvah now. If I'm calling it a mitzvah, I have to tell you how you can be able to fulfill it. Here's how. Immediately when one begins to understand the creations of the world and look at the nature of this world, one will understand that Ribono Shel Olam has an infinite amount of wisdom. Again, our perception of wisdom. Remember, yesterday we talked about how the Rambam doesn't have wisdom in a limiting way. But the Ribono Shel Olam has wisdom in the sense that we understand it, limited wisdom, not unlimited wisdom. And then we're automatically, immediately begin to want to love the Ribono Shel Olam and have a type of gedola to go and know the Ribono Shel Olam. Shamar David, some adoption of the we have a thirst to understand the Ribono Shel Olam and to go towards the Ribono Shel Olam. That comes about of really understanding the Ribono Shel Olam has created all of that we see in this world and everything that we could just perceive with our eyes, our ears, our senses. Those things will bring us to love the Ribono Shel Olam. But immediately after that comes a different level. Because when we start thinking about these things a little bit further, Atzman, miyad hu nirta da chorov v'yifachid. Immediately, there's a sense of fear that comes along with this because we recognize our place in all of these cosmos. The Baruch Hu created everything from the big planets all the way to the tiny little molecules, and we are somewhere in between, but we are insignificant and small and nothing compared to the Ribono Shel Olam. And therefore, we have a sense of fear. We say this when it comes to the Yom Darim coming around the corner, and we focus on the fact that really Emahas Elokeinu versus Emahas Enosh, that the ways of the Ribono Shel Olam are incredible, are amazing. We close the Arum, we have a couple of paragraphs there of Emahas Enosh. The ways of humanity are limited, are full of mistakes, etc., etc. And we are, in a sense, not only of fear of Baruch Shalom, but some point out that this is actually referring to Yiras HaRomos that comes out of Ahava, unlike Yiras Chet. Yiras Chet is a sense of fear or Yiras Onesh, a sense of, I'm going to get punished for this, and therefore I don't want to do it. That's not what he's describing here. The Ahava and the Yira, again, some point out, including the Shalach HaKadosh, that there's the Ahava Hashem that comes out of the immediate reaction to seeing these things, and the Yiras HaRomos, this Yira they're referring to, is an awe, a sense of awe of the Ribono Shel Olam and how great he is and how small we are. And that recognition ultimately leads us to appreciating the Ribono Shel Olam and having awe of him. Ulufi Advarma Elo, I mean, Mevar Klom Gdolim Maser Ribono Olam Kadesh Yiyu. I'm going to now give you some information, give you an attempt to provide an opening to develop that Ahavas Hashem. Through loving the Mitokach Atamakir, you're going to be able to recognize the Ribono Shel Olam that created the entire world. That recognition is what leads to Ahava. That's what the Rambam is saying, that our recognition of the Ribono Shel Olam will allow us to understand and to appreciate the Ribono Shel Olam and to love the Ribono Shel Olam. As we're going into those categories right now, as we're talking about the Avas and Yiras Hashem, we're now going to go on to a slight different track for the next bunch of halachot. Halachot Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin are all going to, and even Ches, are all going to refer now to angels and the place of Malachi Asharis in this world and really in the cosmos in general, and really may help us understand how low we actually are in the scheme of things. There are different, totally different stratosphere between us and the Ribono Shel Olam. There's a whole complex system of malachim that exists between us, and already that will begin to maybe perhaps impact our understanding of Avodas Hashem and Yiras Hashem in this deep way. And there are three different categories of things in this world, of creations in this world, and they all fall into those three categories. This is all based on the Rambam's science, but essentially the Rambam is saying that there are things that have matter and form. Humanity, for example, plants, animals, he says metals as well, come in and out of existence. They have matter and they have form, but they come in and out of existence. Humanity is here today, gone tomorrow. The same thing with plants and animals. They live and then they die. They're part of this world for a period of time. Then there are also things that have matter and form, but they're different than the first category. They don't switch around between different bodies, different shapes, or different forms, like the first category did. These things are fixed. They don't switch around. Their matter and form are different than the first group, and they're like planets and stars, we're about to say. The planets and stars, we can already begin to understand why that would make sense. But they're different than humanity and animals and plants and metals in that form. And then there's a third category. The third category here are things that have form, but no matter at all. And those are the malachim. Those are the angels. They don't have a body. Malachim einam guf ugviya. They have different forms. That's what separates them from each other. They don't have bodies. Okay? And this is very similar to what we basically did referring to the Ribono Shel Olam. In fact, he's going to even refer to the Ribono Shel Olam in Halacha Daled. The same way we talked about the Ribono Shel Olam has their psukim that refer to the Ribono Shel Olam in ways that we would understand, even though referring to what might seem like a body, it's clearly the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't have a body. It's only a mashal. So too here, when the Malachim, the Rambam is going to tell us, No. That's not actually a body that the Ribono Shel Olam, the Malachim have. Same way the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't have a body. Really, it's just a mashal for us to be able to understand. Omrim Shiroa Malach Ishu Baal Kanafayim, that has wings, this angel of fire. But the Nevi'im referred to the angels in these ways. Hakol Mara Nevua. This is just the images and the visions of Nevuah, and it's a mashal basically for us to be able to understand. They don't have bodies. They don't have a body in that same way. The same way we talked about the Ribono Shel Olam, as I referred to before, is an eshel chlahu, an all-consuming fire, but there is no fire. It's just a mashal, just for us to be able to understand. That's halacha dalet, just to clarify that when we're talking about this category of angels that don't have bodies, even though the psukim seem to refer to them in other ways, don't get confused, says the Rambam. Look at halacha hey. How are they different from one another if they don't have, right, Bahari ain't on gufa, they don't have bodies? Pointed out yesterday that the reason why the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't have bodies is because it would limit him, and therefore there would be many different gods, because bodies are different from each other. God can be compared to other things with bodies if it was true that he had a body. Also, not true, says the Rambam. But if the Malachim don't have bodies, how are they different from one another? How could that be? The fish ain't shabbat mitzvah, and ella kol echad mehem lamata mimalos, so shall have chaveiro, who batsui mikocho ze lamala mizeh, the kol mitzvah mikocho shall have chaveiro, who batsui. We're talking about different progression of levels. There are different levels here, referring to the different levels, and therefore of the Malachim, and that's what their different existences. They have different forms, different levels. They have a progression of levels here, one above the other, and they're influenced by the other. And it's important to point out, again, this is just, again, building off the Yesod HaYesodos, the foundation of foundations from yesterday, from Perek Aleph. Now we're in Perek Beis, we're building off of that, and pointing out that obviously everything, Kol Nimtzei Mikocho Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything in this world, everything exists only because of the Kocho Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the eternal power of the Ribono Shel Olam, the non-limited power of the Ribono Shel Olam. And we're going to point out in just a moment the different levels of the angels, but above all of those is the Ribono Shel Olam. He's above everything else, and only everything only exists in this world only because the Ribono Shel Olam wills it into existence. Halacha bav. Zeshamarna lamata mivalah, so shel chaveiro ain't a malas makom. Now, we don't have different stories here, where one angel is on story number 10, and then story number 8, and story number 7. We don't have different stories here in a physical sense, that one is above the other. No, it's not like an XYZ axis where you have different geographical points or different physical points. No, that's not what we're talking about when they say the Malachi Asheris have different standings here. It's exactly what it means. It's about standing. It's not about place. It's a spiritual level. And he gives an explanation. The Rambam is referring to two different cases to be able to explain to us what this means. Number one, when we're talking about two great sages, one sage is greater than the other. We're not talking about that they're or higher than the other. It's not a higher, he's floating 10 feet above the other person. No, that their level, their spiritual level, is on a higher level. That's the same concept that we're referring to here with the Malachim. The same thing as well. When it comes to a cause and effect, the cause is above the effect. It produces the effect. One comes out of the other. So to hear the Malachim, one comes out of the other. It's not that they are on a physical plane. And again, that's all referring to the same points that we said earlier, which is that they don't have any physicality. That's why in Halacha, hey, the Rambam focuses on the fact that the Psukim imply otherwise, and we're rectifying our understanding of that. And in Halacha Vav now, we're pointing out that there is no actual physical plane here, that one is above the other. Rather, it's like more of a cause and effect or different spiritual planes. Halacha Zayin. The Rambam is now going to list 10 different levels of the Malachim. We'll read them very quickly. Shinish Mosa Malachim, Al Shem Alasahu. They're all, the different levels also have different names to them. Each Malach has a different name referring to the different level playing field that it's on. Which is the highest level we'll see in a second. Chayos Hakodesh, Behem, Malam, Minakol, Gofanim, Varelim, Chashmalim, Vesrafim, Malachim, Velohim, Uvnei Elohim, Kruvim, Ishim. All these 10 levels of Malachim are, and the names there are referring to the different spiritual plane, and that's in order. Chayas Kodesh at the top, Ishim at the bottom. Hain, umala she'in lemala mimena, ela malas akela baruchu ki malas asura v'nikris chayos. Says the Rambam that the Ron Shalom is above obviously everything, and the highest level of malachim above that is the chayos. The Nitzit points out that the Midrashim seem to imply there are higher levels in the chayos. The Rambam obviously disagrees, but the chayos HaKodesh are the higher ones. We refer to chayos HaKodesh occasionally in our tefillos, and that's what we're referring to, the highest level. And lefikach nemar b'nevuah shehin tachas kisei hakavod. We see in Nevuah that the chayos HaKodesh are actually right underneath the kisei hakavod. That's what it's referring to, not physically there. There is no physical kisei hakavod in that sense, but they are below, again, right below the Ribono Shel Olam, which is the highest level of the malach. Again, we're trying to give different spheres here of understanding. And remember, all at the bottom of this are people. And that, again, is going to influence our understanding of Abba and Yiras Hashem. Mala Asiris, Ki Malas Atzura Shenikres Ishim. Behema Malachim, Medabrim Imen Avim, Vidnirim Lachem, Imara Nevua, Levi'ach Nikru, U Ishim, Shemalasa Kerova, Lamalos, Das B'nei Adam. The reason why the lowest level is called Ishim, which essentially is man, is because they are the ones that are speaking to humanity. They're the ones speaking to the Nevi'im. They are the closest level of malachim to humanity. Again, they are still above humanity, but they are the closest level of the 10 levels, and that's why they're called Ishim, which is a fascinating point as well. Some point out that the Gemara in Yuma points out that there's a different type of malachim called Avirim, which is not included here. It could be that the Rambam had a different... either that this is a different name of one of the categories he already included, or something else. But again, we have 10 categories here, and each of these categories, again, are bearing product, producing the one lower to it, and above all of them is the Ribono Shel Olam, and below all of them is humanity. Each of these levels really understands the Ribono Shel Olam at a great level. And it's not based on their greatness, it's about their level. Their level understands the Ribono Shel Olam. It's like a certain access. You have a level 10, a level 9, a level 8, et cetera, et cetera. Each of them understands the Ribono Shel Olam at the levels that they, is appropriate to them. And this is important to understand that the highest level of the malachim don't understand the Ribono Shel Olam in the level that it could be understood. We're going to see in a moment the only entity that understands the Ribono Shel Olam at the level that it could be is the Ribono Shel Olam himself. But the malachim only understand it at their level that is appropriate to them. Chen ko mala umala ad mala mahasiris. Gam hi yodas abura deya she'en koach b'nei adam v'chubarim v'golem v'tzura yach l'hasig v'leidach emosa. It's important to point out that each of these levels of the malachim understand the Ribono Shel Olam and understand his existence at a much higher level than humanity itself. Because again, remember, humanity is underneath all of this, and what specifically the Rambam focuses on is the fact that we have a tzura, we have a form, and a golem, we have a body. Our bodies, and again, remember, yesterday, the Rambam's reference of the fact that the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't have a body is because it would limit him, is exactly what is our limit right now. What the Rambam is saying is that because we have bodies, unlike the Malachim, unlike the Ribono Shel Olam, that is actually what limits us here. And because that's what's limiting us, we can't understand the Ribono Shel Olam at a level that is like the Malachim, that is like the Ribono Shel Olam himself. The only one that may be able to understand the Ribono Shel Olam is the Ribono Shel Olam himself. Some point out that when we're talking about the different levels of understanding the Ribono Shel Olam in these malachim, that is referring to the different types of shira that they sing to the Ribono Shel Olam, which can be looked into further, but not for now. Now let's get back to loving the Ribono Shel Olam. Again, we've really been on that topic the entire time, loving and fearing the Ribono Shel Olam, being in awe of the Ribono Shel Olam, but we've gone a little detour towards understanding the malachim, perhaps to help us understand our place in the existence of the world. Halacha test. Everything exists in this world from the greatest things, from the first creation of the world, from Adam and Rishon, all the way to the tiniest of tiny, the Rambam, for the Rambam, that's a tiny little mosquito in the you know, lower recesses of the world. We would point out that we now have seen molecules and protons and neutrons, all these different tiny components of nature. All of that is existent only because of Amitas Nitzar, only because of the Rosh Hashanah's influence of his truth. Nothing is hidden from the Rosh Hashanah because he knows himself and everything is part of him. And since he understands and recognizes, focus again on that word makir, we try to recognize the Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, the Rosh Hashanah is the only one who recognizes himself in the real full sense of that word, but the recognition of the Rosh Hashanah that we try to achieve is going to lead to our ahava. But the point is, the only one who could really comprehend all of everything in this world is the Baruch Hashem himself, because it is all part of him, as we're going to point out right now. The Baruch Hashem understands and recognizes his own truth. What does that mean? It's not like this concept that we have now, where our understanding of things is actually outside of ourselves, separate from who we are. We are one thing. Our knowledge and our understanding of things is a piece of who we are, but it is separate from who we are. No, we're not one thing with our thoughts. About who the Baruch Hashem himself, and his thoughts, and his life. Again, remember, his wisdom and his life are only words that we use to explain it. But again, remember from yesterday that life is not on the category of things that the Baruch Hashem has. Again, yeah, obviously, the Rosh Hashanah is Chai, as we pointed out already in this paragraph. The Rosh Hashanah is living, but it's from our comprehension of living, because there is no life and there is no death for the Rosh Hashanah, obviously. So that of the Chayav and himself are all Echad, Mikol Tzana, Mikol Pino, Mikol Derech, Yichud. We pointed out yesterday that there is a mitzvah la'achdo, right, to have Shema Yisrael, Hashem Akinu, Hashem Echad. There is one Rosh Hashanah, Yichud, the unification of the Rosh Hashanah. All of these parts are part of who the Ribbono Shel Olam are, not part of, they are the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all one thing. She'el Malei Chai B'Chayim V'Yodea B'Deya Chutz Mimenu Hay Sham Elokus Harbeihu V'Chaya V'Da'ato V'Ein Adavar Kein Ela Echa Mikol Tzad V'Mikol Pino V'Mikol Derech Yichud. The same way yesterday we pointed out that if the Ribbono Shel Olam had a body, then there would be limitations and there would be multiple gods because of that body. No, same thing here. So we say no body, but also here there is no separation of parts of the Ribbono Shel Olam that the Ribbono Shel Olam has himself, and then he also has his wisdom, et cetera, et cetera. No, it's all one. Otherwise, there'd be many gods here. And again, we don't believe in that, and therefore the Rambam is pointing out that no, all of this is actually part of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Nim Tzeisa Ata Omer Hu Ayodeya V'Hu Ayadua V'Hu Adeya Atzma HaKol Echa. This is a fascinating line. It's a very important line. The Rosh Hashanah is the knower. He is the subject of the knowledge, and he is knowledge itself. Now, that sounds very nice in written form. V'Davar Zeh Ein Koach V'Peh L'Omro V'Ein V'Lo Be'Ozen L'Shamo V'Lo Be'Lev Ha'Adam La'Kiro Al'Vorov. These things are almost impossible for us, humanity, and again, focus on the limitations, the body parts that are going to be sensing all of this, the peh, the ozen, the lave, the mouth, the ear, the heart, all of these things are the limitations of us. And even though we're going to try to understand this, we're going to try to express it, it's almost impossible for us to do this. Like here, Al-Borob, L'fivach Omer Chei Paro V'Chei Nafshecha V'Ein Omer Chei Hashem El Chai Hashem. Well, if we can't understand this idea in the way that we're describing it, although we can understand, perhaps, or attempt to understand it, the psukim seem to refer to this directly as well. When we talk about the life of Paro, it says Chei Paro, the life of Paro, as being a separate component of Paro. There's an idea of Paro, there's a personality of Paro, but there's also a life of Paro. When it comes to Ribbono Shel Olam, it's Chai Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam is living. There is no Chei Hashem. There's no life of the Ribbono Shel Olam as a separate component. She'ena Bore V'Chaya Shnayim. There's no separation between the Bore, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, and his life. Kimo Chaye Hagufa V'Chayim. Oh, Kichaye HaMalachim. Now we're compared to, again, in the same category as Malachim, that there is a life of Malachim, there's a life of bodies, that is totally different than the Chayav of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is not separate from himself. The Fiyuch Einu Makhira Barum Yodam Machmas Barum Kimosha Anu Yodim Osam Ela Machmas Atzmo Yodim. The Fiyuch Vepnei Shachu Yodea Atzmo Yodea Hakol Shachol Nismach Lo. And this is an important part. All the creation is part of the Ribono Shel Olam. It is not separated from him, but it is all himself. And that's why he knows everything, but everything is also dependent on him. Again, as we pointed out in the Yesod HaYesodos in the first paragraph, everything is dependent on the Ribono Shel Olam's existence, and the Ribono Shel Olam knows everything, as we pointed out in Halacha Yud. Why? Because it's all part of him. It's not a separate knowledge as if it's something so totally different. Everything in this world is part of the Ribono Shel Olam. Again, that is why when we look at nature and we're fascinated by it, we immediately want to love the Ribono Shel Olam. Some nafshei l'Elokim, that we immediately respond to that and go to the l'Elokim. Some scientists will say, no, that's science, capital S. No, we go as believers, again, based on the Yesod HaYesodos, once we believe in the Ribono Shel Olam, we recognize that everything in this world is part of him. When we see all of that, we are fascinated by it. We have a deep thirst to want to appreciate and understand the Ribono Shel Olam, and that's because it is all part of him. On a very basic level, somehow, intuitively, we understand that concept, even if we can't really understand it. Now, the last two halachos are trying to give us an explanation of what this entire two prakim has been about, what we've been trying to accomplish in these prakim, in addition to teaching us five of the mitzvos, of those 10 mitzvos that we're going to cover in Yesod HaTorah. The rest of them will be covered in future prakim. But what the goal of all this is to understand is Varav Elush Amar Binyan Zeh, Bishnei prakim Elu Kamot Tipa Bin Hayam, Heimi Mash Tzorech Levar Binyan Zeh, Uveir Kol HaKonim Shebishnei prakim Elu Hu HaNikra Maaseh Merkava. This is all Maaseh Merkava based on the Yechezkel's chariot. Again, in a scientific, perhaps, way. Others have different understanding of Maaseh Merkava. And it's worthwhile to point out that the entire Mor Nevuchim, the guides that are perplexed, is really focused on both Maaseh Merkava and Maaseh Bereishis, the creation of the world, as well as this Maaseh Merkava and going into depth, understanding it in a deeper way. But it says that what I've just described to you is not even Rosh HaYisrael, as we're going to see in a minute. That would be inappropriate to do in this public of a way, although people were still upset about the fact that the Rambam already put this into writing. Part of the excommunication and the burning of the Rambam is the Sefer HaMadah and the usage of science here, but also, you know, there's already a piece here of Maaseh Merkava, which you're not supposed to do. We're going to see in Halacha Yud, it basically addresses that. But this is only a tipa min hayam. This is only a drop, not in a bucket. This is not a drop in the bucket. This is a drop in the entire sea of what needs to be explained here. So if you already got confused here, great, because what it's essentially saying is that we can't fully understand this, not at our level, and therefore perhaps it will also get us to a level of awe and understanding of the Ribono Shel Olam is a limited one. It will lead us to a deeper sense of Ahava and Yiras Hashem. The Rambam now is going to focus on what basically comes out in the Mishnah Chagiga and Perek Beis, the first Mishnah there, where it talks about you shouldn't teach the Dvarim of Arayus, sexual inappropriate behavior, Vishlosha, and three people, only two or less, Lova Masim Bereishis, Vishnayim, you shouldn't talk about creation with two or more, it should be only one, Lova Masim Merkava, and when it comes to Masim Merkava, you shouldn't even teach the Yachid to one person, Elayim Kein Hu Chacham Meivim B'dayta, only if you can understand it himself, and that's exactly what the Rambam is going to explain here. Tziva Lachama, you only teach it to one person, but who, and that person needs to be, so he can really be understanding this and really very intelligent, figure out themselves. Most of the Rosh Hashanah, you can teach them very, very basics, not tipa min hayam, but something, some fundamentals that they're going to teach them. He is going to then ultimately teach it to himself, understand it himself, think about it in a very deep way, and ultimately get to the depth on his own. They're very, very deep ideas. Not everyone can understand this. This is actually partially why when the Rambam does write the Mor Nevuchim, again, another portion of why people were had it excommunicated the Rambam, he does so in a complicated way. He actually writes that he's going to do it in a complicated way where things seem to be so sere each other that they're going to be contradicting each other, really to weed out those who can't really fully understand these concepts and only allow it to go to those who can. Again, the idea being here that this is a topic that really is not intended for every person. We're going to see right now. You should be like clothing for yourself, not for everybody. Not everyone wears your clothing. You wear your clothing. Keep this to yourself. Should be for yourself, not for other people as well. When it says tachas, right, devash v'cholav should be underneath your tongue. These topics, like Maaseh Merkava, that are like honey and milk, you tarnas l'shonecha, should be underneath your tongue, not above your tongue. Don't teach it to others. I think what the Rambam is basically telling us is that we need to understand that what he taught us was a piece, it's a drop, not the type of drop that is given over to an Adam Chacham that will be able to understand himself, which is why perhaps the Rambam is trying to explain that he is actually not in opposition, not contradicting this law of teaching Masa Merkava B'Yachid. Again, he wrote this L'Radam, and once you put it into writing, it goes to everybody. So it could be a problem if one understands that this actually is Masa Merkava. He's telling us right now, he's qualifying, this is only a very, 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 very small component of it. And I would never teach you everything because we already know that that's not intended for everybody to understand. Okay, we learned, again, mitzvahs, avavas, and yiras Hashem. We learned about lots of understanding of what the different malachim and the different structures of the malachim are, but also our place in the world and how we can understand how we are intended to live our lives serving the Rona Sholem, a piece of it all, of the Masa Merkava, and we will go on to the next parak beginning tomorrow.